Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Daisy Egan. I play Martha in The Secret Garden.
And I'm Anya Rothman, and I play Mary Lennox in The Secret Garden.
So yes, like they said, it's The Secret Garden, and it's at Shakespeare Theatre Company, Sydney Harmon Hall, now through December 31st. So you got the rest of the year to go see it. Thanks so much for coming in, guys. It's not often we get a Tony winner here, and you are the youngest ever, still to this day, right? You still hold the record, the youngest ever Tony
youngest
winner.
Female.
Youngest female, yeah. Okay. So mm-hmm. They slice it and dice it.
Yeah.
Okay, but you still have the record.
Yes.
Okay. Before we dive into this play, I want to know, because you played the role that your colleague here played years ago, mm-hmm. back when you were really young. So just before we dive in, tell me some of the memories of that.
Oh my goodness. Well, I was a very big fan of the book, The Secret Garden. I had read it many times, and so when the opportunity came up for the musical, it just was a natural fit, and I was not very well trained. I was in Les Miserables on Broadway, and I had done one other show, so I knew the craft, but I wasn't trained,
right.
Which I think worked in my favor, because I wasn't, a lot of times kids are so highly polished that they walk into the audition and they're just sort of automatons, and so when somebody comes in that's natural, I think it's a nice breath of fresh air. So that worked in my favor. And when I booked the role, I don't have to say I was so excited. And I left Les Mis to go do it, and then the show actually fell through initially. So that was sort of devastating. And then we did a 29-hour reading, which is just a name of a contract. And then we did a backers audition to try to get support. And this was in the old days when you could just sort of do that.
Right.
It's very different these days. And we did the backers audition, and the Dodgers came on and some other investors and said, yes, we absolutely want to do this. And we opened on Broadway in April of 91. So 25 years ago.
And it won a couple Tonys, including for you.
I think
for Best Book, maybe.
Best Set Design, and wow. I won.
What was it like Tony night getting up there on stage?
Oh, my God. Tony night was really crazy. It was, I don't think I'd ever watched the Tonys before. My mother had been really keen on preparing me for not winning, because kids don't usually win.
Right.
So, she was like, try not to be disappointed, but it's very unlikely. But we wrote some names down, thank God, because I would have gone blank. I brought my stuffed rabbit with me, and my sister sat with me, and my parents got seats up in the balcony. And I, Audrey Hepburn kissed my head, and
oh my gosh.
I walked off backstage, and I met Lily Tomlin, which was really amazing, and told her I was a huge fan. And
are you still carrying stuffed rabbit at this point?
No, I left the stuffed rabbit with my sister, but she did hold him up when I thanked him in my speech.
Wow.
And then I had to perform at the same, ceremony. So my cast was all waiting for me upstairs in the dressing room, and it was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so what's it like for you then to be able to, that her history of all that, and that you're starring across, this original Tony winner, and that, but now it's your turn to play that same role. How exciting is it for you? And do you ask her for advice every now and then?
Well, it's really, really cool because Daisy's really awesome. And she won a Tony for the role that I'm playing now. So,
were you nervous at all, like, to perform opposite me, or were you just like, did it make you nervous at all, or were you excited?
I was kind of nervous before I met you because I didn't know what you would be like, and when I met Daisy, she was really nice, and she wasn't being big about it.
You realize she's a regular person, right?
You were a little worried I was going to be like a diva.
Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good.
But always when I meet people who've done a lot of stuff, they have experience. And so sometimes it's really cool to work with them, but you just don't know what they're going to be like. So.
Yeah. Well,
Anya was really on it from the get-go. I thought she really jumped into the part head first and asked really smart questions, and she has great instincts and lots of energy, and she's adorable to watch.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, before we get too far into the performances, which I want to do, let's back up a second and let's say maybe some of our listeners don't know about The Secret Garden. That seems hard to believe, right? There's been
a
book
bit.
And the play, and I think
and
there
lots
was a movie
of movies.
When I was a kid. Yeah. But let's pretend they've been under a rock. Someone, one of you guys, explain what this story is about.
Oh, so Mary Lennox grew up in India, and then in most productions she's 11. When she turns 11, or around then, the cholera epidemic, I think it's called, is happening.
Cholera, you got
and
it.
And so she is, and her parents, in at least in the musical, have a dinner party, and everyone dies. So we like to call it the cholera party in our show.
The cholera party.
And everyone dies there. And in the musical, she sees it, but then she kind of forgets. And
doesn't she go to live with an uncle?
Yes. And her uncle also has experienced trauma because his wife Lily died. Mm-hmm. And
she never met her uncle before.
Right.
Yeah, she's never met him because he lives in England and she was living in India, and her mother didn't like that Lily married her uncle Archibald
right.
Craven. Because Archibald Craven is a hunchback. Mm. And
back then we weren't so open-minded about people and their
sure.
differences.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lily died because she fell out of a tree.
But didn't she keep a secret garden?
Yes, because she had the tree in her garden and the branch broke because the garden was surrounded by a hedge or a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And
Archie gave her the garden as sort
yes.
of like, you know, as a wooing opportunity.
Right.
Because Lily really liked gardening mm-hmm. and she really liked roses. Mm-hmm. So there are lots of those in her garden. And when, back to the present story, mm-hmm. when Mary arrives in the musical, she hears crying. By now, the party people
the party
came
people.
Back as ghosts.
Yeah, the cholera people. Mary's father and mother mm-hmm. and all of the other generals.
And
it's the British colonized mm-hmm. India.
India.
Yes.
But she hears voices, and then she meets
crying.
Colin.
Not yet.
Okay.
We're going, apparently we're going moment by moment.
It's okay.
And so she sings a song with Archie and Lily, and then everyone else joins,
mm-hmm.
basically everyone, and he doesn't find anything the first time, and the song is called I Heard Someone Crying, and so then she goes back to bed, and Martha comes in.
Wow.
Martha.
Now Martha's like a maid?
Martha is a scullery maid who gets basically promoted to take care of Mary. I think that the house has sort of fallen into a bit of disrepair in the 10 years since Lily has died. Archie is a recluse and doesn't, you know, can't, he has not gotten over. He basically needs a therapist is the situation and needs to go to like a singles meet and move on.
Another cholera party.
Yeah, cholera party. But he's sort of stuck, and so that I think they sort of have a skeleton crew going on in the house, and when Mary's coming, they just promote Martha, who's a sturdy country gal from Yorkshire, and you know, Martha sees this. Martha's got lots of brothers and sisters, so she knows all about kids, and she sees this you know, dour, sour, sad looking little girl and thinks, I'm gonna try to fix this. And she sort of nudges her outside toward the secret garden that she may or may not know about.
You'll have to see the play,
yeah,
the musical to find out.
And Mary, you know, ventures out and in the process she meets all of the country folk and heals, you know, she finds this garden and she finds Colin, who is her cousin, and he's been sick in bed for 10 years since Lily died. And
tell me about Colin. Is he in a wheelchair?
Well, he spends almost his whole time in bed because he hates fresh air, and he won't be taken out.
Doesn't he hide from the light, too? He's very pale?
Yes, he's very pale and sickly seeming. Yes, and he's been in his bed for almost his whole life.
And what does your character think of Colin? Do they become really
They're
close?
Very nasty, both still. Mary not as, but Colin. And so Mary's telling Colin off, and he doesn't like it because they've never had people to argue against because their servants have always just been silent and not really telling them to do anything.
Right.
And so they clash, but they make friends.
Oh, that's great. And in through the friendship, they experience the garden together, mm-hmm. right? And
yes.
maybe have a hopeful surprise by the end for mm-hmm. Colin. Right?
I won't spoil it.
Yeah.
you know, the story is about healing and rebirth yeah. and Mary heals herself and she heals, you know, the people around her. And it's about sort of coming back to life after being dormant for a very long time.
I love it.
Yeah.
So tell me, who plays Colin? Who's your co-star?
Henry Baratz. And he's really nice. And he plays Colin.
He's 13. I think he comes from like a choir background. He's got a beautiful voice. And he's a doll.
That's awesome. Now tell me, so we went through the whole story. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the music, because that's what makes this special from maybe like movie versions people have seen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have a favorite song, each of you?
Well, I really like Wick because it's very upbeat. And Lily's Eyes is also really good.
Mm-hmm. Lily's Eyes? Why do you like Lily's Eyes?
Because it's a full song and it's a ballad, right?
Yeah, it's very dramatic.
But it's an up tempo, but like
it's driving.
Driving ballad, yeah. And I like the orchestra in it.
Nice. How about you, Daisy?
I think some of my favorite songs have actually been cut. You know, this is
right, because you did them years
ago.
Yeah,
this is a new version, and they've cut quite a bit.
Which were the ones that were cut? And then you can tell me your favorites of what's remaining.
The ones that were cut were Round Shouldered Man, which was Colin's song, The Quartet, which has sort of been changed into Neville's song, and Race You to the Top of the Morning. And I'd say that Race You to the Top of the Morning and The Quartet were two of my favorite numbers in that show.
Was it just to streamline it, or why?
Yes,
would it?
Yeah. I think Marcia and Lucy really wanted to streamline the story. You know, modern audiences have a shorter attention span, and I think they just wanted to be very clear about the story they were telling.
Yeah.
So they were, you know, they sort of took a scalpel to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lily's Eyes is gorgeous. Wick is beautiful. Winter's on the Wing is one of my favorite songs of all time, and I'm partial to Hold On, frankly. but you know, the score of this show is I think it's one of the best scores of all time. I mean, I think I'd say it's in the top 10.
Wow.
And I've heard over the years, many, many people have come up to me and said that, you know, the original cast recording got them through a really difficult summer, or they, you know, whatever it was, they came out of the closet and their parents didn't understand, and they they used it, or they lost somebody close to them, or they went off to college, or whatever it was. People have sort of used this score over the years to sort of get them through hard times, and I think that it does that successfully.
this is Marcia Norman and Lucy Simon.
Yeah. And the orchestrations in this production are lovely, and the voices are gorgeous. So works out nice.
What's it been like working with David, the director?
Oh,
Armstrong.
He's a very good director. He answers all my questions, and usually not just, even if it's a yes or no question, it's not just a yes or no answer. I feel that's he's a really good director, and a lot of people want someone who can thoroughly explain things as he does. And the way he's blocked and done the acting, or helped us with the acting, makes it seem very convincing and lifelike, and not as if we were trying to convey something through something that isn't normally how things are conveyed, right. If you know what I mean, because
yeah, for sure.
It's not just like a scene and it conveys something that you wouldn't learn in this, that time and what's happening in real life at that place, or it doesn't try to tell us something that doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Well, what about your experience working with David? Because you worked, who was the director back on the, in, on
Susan,
Broadway?
Susan Shulman was our director on Broadway. They have a very different
compare their style.
To be very honest, I don't really remember too well what Susan's style was, though I do remember she gave me the best piece of acting advice I've ever gotten in my life.
Whoa.
Or direction, which was the sentence ends with the period, which means you don't trail off. It's really terrific advice.
Meaning when people read their lines, they kind of trail off?
Yeah, a lot of times people tend to go like this at the end of a sentence.
Yeah.
And so the sentence ends at the period.
That's great.
So that was really, I always stuck with me, obviously. She also was very specific about, she's very exacting. And she, I got stacks and stacks of notes, some of which I still have, that would be like, basically a line reading written down, which is can be really frustrating, but I realized that it really did bring out this performance, and I think without her I wouldn't have won that Tony Award. I think she is largely to credit for that.
Where is the Tony now?
In storage. My Tony Award's in storage.
In a box somewhere.
In a box. David is, in my experience, a little more hands-off in terms of the, David is, he likes to set up a picture, and he sort of trusts the actor to fill out the picture with the story, if that makes sense. And then if we do have questions, we can come to him. But I think what part of what his talent is casting people who are going to get the job done.
Right.
So he can say like, here's the picture I want. And then we make it work emotionally.
Right. Speaking of the picture, we've talked about the music and other things, but what are we going to see when we come there? What are we, you know, the set, is it like, because you go to live with your uncle, I'm picturing like Manderley or, you know, like Rebecca or something, but does the place become part of a character in this?
Well, our set, usually it's not just staying still. It's not usually like a drop comes down and we're just performing in front of it. Many times something is moving and it does a lot of things stay still, but it gives you the illusion that it's always moving. Especially in Archie's mansion.
Mm.
There are three sliders that are the basic house. They aren't normal house looking. They're kind of just mixes of different elements of a house. Stairways,
it's sort of
doorways.
In some ways it's kind of Escher-esque. You know, you've got these stairways that don't really go anywhere, and it's dark and sort of gothic in that way, and these pieces move constantly, so the set is definitely a big component of the story.
And then the garden, is it just gorgeous
at the end? It's very beautiful.
It's really gorgeous.
There's so many flowers.
A lot of times when it's revealed, the audience just spontaneously burst into applause because it really is just bright and beautiful and
the gas
filled. Yeah. Wow.
And we have two drops, backdrops.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes things go in front of them, but there are two main backdrops at the very back of the stage. There's our outside one, which is a sky, and there is our house one. And the cool thing about the sky one is that they can light it in very different ways so that it can be night, and it doesn't always have to be a realistic mm-hmm. color.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first time the audience sees the garden, it still looks dead, but it's very beautiful because there's a moon in the back mm-hmm. and the sky's all dark and blue, and the sets are amazing. To be short.
Oh, that's great. Since you've been in her shoes before, mm-hmm. talk about when you sit there and watch her acting, does it bring back memories? And B, like, how do you grade her performance?
It brings back lots of memories, certainly. I may or may not have recently had access to a bootlegged video of a preview from Broadway. That was trippy. So yeah, it certainly brings back memories, and Anya's performance is, I think, very different from mine, but really terrific. And it's my biggest fear is that I'm basically stealing my performance from Allison Fraser. And I'm worried that she'll come see the show and go, that's my show. But you know, hopefully 25 years has obscured it enough that I am doing my own thing.
Borrow from wherever you can.
Yeah, it's true. But it's delightful to get to watch Anya develop this character on her own and create Mary for herself. And there were times in rehearsal where David, you know, he calls us by our character names when he's directing, and he'd say, Mary, cross to center, and I'd be halfway to center, and I'd be like, right, I'm not Mary anymore. Right. You got it, Anya. Go for it.
Oh, you mean that Mary.
Right. So.
That's hilarious. Tell me a little bit about yourself. When did you get into acting? How old were you?
Well, when I did my first show, when I was about 5 and a half.
Oh. Where were you? Where'd you grow up?
I've lived in the same house all my life.
Oh, cool.
It's in the Charlottesville area in Virginia. And even before I did shows, I didn't know I wanted to do acting, but I loved musicals. And my favorite musical back then, I mean, I hadn't seen the musical, but I always was listening to Wicked, I know. And I loved doing theater ever since. And the first show I did was Seussical.
Seussical. Okay.
And it was one of those shows that, you know, everybody gets into, and it's...
Where was this? Was this at your school, or what was this?
It was kind of near... We don't have any theater stuff really near our home, so we have to drive 30 minutes for almost everything we do, at least.
That's not true.
Where was it?
Do you remember
what
the theater was called? Oh. It's okay. We can look it up. Seussical. Okay.
The musical. Tour, or you did a production here?
No, it was just a
local Virginia.
It was just like for.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And what other did you? So you did that first one, and were you hooked? Were you like, I got to do this?
I don't remember. I mean, I'm imagining, because then I did two more shows there, and then I started doing. Not just that theater. Yeah. And I started small, and I guess the first professional show I did was The Sound of Music, and I auditioned, and it was one of those auditions where the callbacks are all the same day, and they just release the people who aren't going to the next callback. And I
Who were you? Were you one of the Von Trapp children?
I was Gretel for the Frit, and... Then I just started auditioning for everything.
How'd you get this one? How'd you hear about Secret Garden?
Well, my parents knew that there was like a concert, I'm pretty sure. And so we thought that was cool, and I think we heard that they were doing it in here, and before we really thought that I would be good for auditioning. I'm not really quite sure.
And they saw that there were auditions, and they were like...
And so we inserted me for auditions, and then I got one. And so then I got callbacks, and well,
how many callbacks did you have to do?
Oh, okay. Counting the first... I mean, not...
No, you
the,
did your audition.
And then I think there were... Two
callbacks.
I think. Right? Two callbacks?
You need to take some ginkgo biloba.
And there might have been a third, but it wasn't, I'm not sure if it was like a callback because we didn't see anyone else there.
Right. Okay. How excited
it was just like
were
to
you?
Work with David.
How excited were you when they said, you're going to be the one?
I was really excited. To tell the truth, I thought I was too young looking. Because that's... was the case a lot of times, or I was too tall. And so this time I was so excited because I just didn't know if I would get it or not. Because first they put me on a hold, and then they put me on the stronghold, and we were like, what does this mean? And then they told me, and I was so excited.
That's so great. And remind us where, Daisy, where how you got into it. Long ago. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. And my dad had been an actor in the 60s, and he quit doing that long before I was born. And we didn't see a lot of theater growing up. We couldn't afford it. I wasn't really exposed to it. And then when I was about 8, my dad decided to go do a play. So I saw that, and that was sort of my first experience of seeing theater, and I was very badly teased at school, so this idea that I could like go be somebody else was very, very appealing. So I told my parents I wanted to try it, and they were reluctantly supportive, and they looked in backstage for auditions, and you know, I think in some ways I was at the right place at the right time, and again, I wasn't too polished, and I was good at it, so I was lucky. And by the time Secret Garden came around, I had an agent because I was in Les Mis. So he submitted me and I got called in for that. And I think I had also 2 or 3 callbacks. Bless you.
There's that call button.
And for this one, Anya mentioned the concert. We did a 25th anniversary concert at Lincoln Center in February. Awesome. And when I saw that it had been announced, I immediately started silently and vigorously campaigning for the part. And I had an opportunity to sit down with Marcia and Lucy for an interview, and I basically threw myself at their feet and begged. And it worked.
This is for the concert.
This was for the concert. Yeah. And they hadn't seen me perform in a very long time, so they didn't know. So our musical director, Michael Cosren, who was also the original musical director, he looked me up on YouTube and saw some like recent singing, and he was like, she belts to a D, she's fine. And so I did the concert, and then, you know, once this came up, the concert was basically my audition for this.
It's like the springboard to this.
You're right, which is nice because I am terrible at auditioning, so I was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you were only as good as Anya.
You know.
That's awesome. Well, is there anything, this is the luxury of pre-tape, is there anything we're leaving out? I think we've covered a lot of bases here.
I mean, we could say the show is...
You should come see the show because it's so great.
Yeah, you should come see the show because it's so great. It's really family friendly.
We don't even curse once.
We don't even curse once. I think the worst thing we say is friggin'. And that happens in a
memory
maelstrom of lots of things happening. But yeah, kids will enjoy it. Adults will enjoy it. I think it really does appeal to all audiences. And I think is relevant to some of the things that are going on internationally in the world these days. And
how so?
Well, you know, Mary is a refugee. You know, she's taken away from her home and sent to a place she doesn't know. And she's lost everything that she knows. And I think that there are situations happening in the world right now that are similar. And so I do think in a lot of ways that is relevant. And it helps us to remember that there is hope in the world, and that even when things seem really dark and really bleak, there is hope, and life and happiness are always just lurking right under the surface, and you just need to scrape away a bit of the dead bark, right?
Because it's wick.
It's wick.
It's oh, explain that for me a little bit.
The
song.
Wick means alive.
Wick, it means alive, even if it looks dead. The Wick, the song, is about how the garden is alive, even though it probably looks dead. And underneath that dead wood, there is green.
The garden and other things might be more alive than we think.
So is the idea, how can, if our listeners come to the theater, how can they find the secret garden inside themselves, peel away their own wick?
I think hope and love can never really die. And so I feel like if you come see the show and you feel like you've, you know, you've had some troubles. I think it's a good reminder that, like, around the corner, you know, is hope, and it is there. It's just a matter of going out and finding it.
Well,
and holding on.
Well, that's the perfect place to leave it. We'll leave on a hopeful note. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. Again, it's The Secret Garden at Shakespeare Theater Company, now through December 31st. So get your tickets now. Thanks so much for coming in. This is awesome.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.